So what do we do first, Quentin?
Let's get to Arthur Croker.
Arthur Croker. I don't need to.
If there's a new Croker book, geez, yes. I don't need to come up with anything to talk about. We can spend 4 hours talking about Arthur Croker, right?
Well, do you no have problem. The book?
I don't. Clinton does.
Oh, I'm supposed to get it probably today or tomorrow.
Did you just find out about this book, or?
I just found out about it last week.
New now, book Ryan. By Quadrant author. Last surviving Quadrant author releases new book. Woo, woo, woo.
Now, Brian, you would understand what I said. When he says technology is the new real would be the AP, right?
Yeah, the new real AP
over AM.
To me, that evokes you making a distinction between the old AP and the new AP, yeah.
Well, the old AP is under AM. AM over dominates AP. Web 2.0 starts to make the AP dominate the AM. But it's an anthropomorphic projection. You can project any one of the five bodies as your AP, right? It's a projection.
Right. Cheeky.
And you want one of your five bodies is your AP. And then that gets obsolesced by the ex-addict. Obsolesced in the old sense. Well, maybe the McLuhan sense, you know. It doesn't go away. It just there's more and more, but it's not constitutive. So can we see the table of contents, Clinton? What kind of titles does he have? Yeah, you'll have to read it. It just read it. We can't make it out really. Too small for me.
Yeah, acknowledgement.
You can see it, Brian?
No, I can't. I can't read it.
Yeah, too small.
All right, so after the acknowledgements, we have Introduction, Viral Contagion, and the Death of the Social, page 3. Chapter 1, DIY Bodies, page 27. Chapter 2, Power Under Surveillance. Capitalism Under Suspicion, page 53. Chapter 3, Dreaming with Drones, page 98. Chapter 4, Robots Trekking Across the Uncanny Valley, page 123. Epilogue, From the Insurgence of the Blended Mind to Generation Z, page 149.
Okay, so he says at the beginning something about the obsolescence or disappearance of the social.
Viral contagion and the death of the social. Yep.
Of the social. Now, he writes that, and he talks about the death of social back in 86 in the postmodern scene with David Cook. See, so that's not a new, it's not new. Then the next title seemed to have an AP angle.
DIY bodies, do-it-yourself bodies.
There it is, do-it-yourself bodies. That's where you project one of the bodies into your idea of what you are, which you favor. So you got a battle between those that want to go totally virtual, which would be the transhumanists, I think they're called. You know, those guys that want to put their head in a, chop their head off, put it somewhere, and then when the head... the science on, they can rebuild the head. There's a transhumanist, right?
Like Futurama, exactly. President Nixon's head.
Yeah, so they're projecting that the virtual is science or technology will win out. Now, the ecologists, the guys who want to withdraw and, you know, grow gardens and stuff, that's the projection of the... Thompson quadrant, and I would call the astral body, or maybe even the chemical body. Then what's left? The TV body. Who the hell wants that? Who wants to project that their TV? Not many. So that's the garbage zone.
Well, I mean, to me, I associate the TV body with the one-way broadcasting and the mass audience all at once, right? So that maybe it wouldn't necessarily be, it wouldn't necessarily be explicitly within the frame of being on a TV show or something, but anytime people are fantasizing about, like, me as the focus of the world's attention all at once or something, to me, I associate that with TV body.
Yeah, that's correct. It's the fantasy, traditional fame. Like, Elon Musk is a major figure in the TV body right now, with his controversial moves on Twitter. Trump was a major TV body phenomenon, and he got there by the chip body, by Twittering, supposedly, right? He bypassed the old Republican candidates and Twittered himself into prominence. But then he's going to make America great again. That's an iconic image, America. There ain't no America in the chip body, right? So all the you hear young people, naive young people, say, "I want to become famous." You know, they're looking for TV body fame. But usually the chip body people are younger. Chip body people are more savvy, and they become influencers. They don't go for the TV body fame. They're happy to get an audience, and if they're good at it, they're getting a bigger audience. And they're not even known in the TV body landscape, unless Time Magazine does a survey, you know, that here are the top 10 influencers. So that's the anthropomorphic physical. Those projections are not ground. To be the TV body or the chemical body, you're in a situation where you can make up what you are, define what you are. That's the it's a projection. It's past. TV is ground. Computer is ground. Homeopathic retrievals is ground. It's a fantasy, the anthropomorphic physical. And a chemical body example of the anthropomorphic physical would be the jackassers. They were trying to make the chemical body the whole thing. So they would do a lot of stunts with their chemical body. Chemical body was not ground. So the hexadic, though.
The result is inevitable.
What?
Just as novelists, short story writers, poets, and cinematographers have always suspected in their creative fables of bodies without shadows and outlaw shadows that refuse any bodily presence, the unfolding story of electronic shadows is inherently unstable. It takes an immense regime of technocratic intelligibility to maintain tight, disciplined cohesion between digital bodies and their electronic shadows. The many cases of mistaken digital identity indicate perhaps a more primary confusion in electronic shadow land, that point where electronic shadows sometimes exchange bodily identities, slipping immediately beyond the boundaries of one bodily tag to another, with the least apparent difference.
What page is that, Clinton?
Page 96.
Yeah, that's a pretty good quadraphenic statement, mixing the bodies. The electronic shadows, that's what I was saying, body is. And then the digital is the chip body, and he's talking about several. But the thing is, Clinton, as I watch you, your voice becomes silent, and then the words come out. There's a delay, so I shouldn't watch you. If I just listen, then you're clear. But has anybody else got that problem with what Clinton's performing? Anybody notice that?
Just a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. So there's some kind of staticky thing going on with your projection, Clinton.
I might try getting you guys on a different web browser. Don't worry, that won't interrupt the show. But I will try to make your connection a little more stable. Okay. One second.
Now, that was a good quote. Could you read that quote slower, considering the blooping that happens?
Uh-oh. Now I'm in a room of my own again.
No need to fear.
We're big. I'm big. Yeah. I'm
I can see what I'm doing over here. I swear I'm just posting the link to this to get people onto it. I'm not being distracted. Electronic shadow. That's a great phrase.
Yeah. That would be what I call the after image of the Android meme.
All right. You guys should have me back now.
Yeah. No, your voice is good, Clinton. So can you read that quote again? Page 96.
The results. Okay. I'll The result of what? Hold on.
Quentin, did you pick this quote because you thought that's what I was talking about?
Well, I opened to a random page and it seemed to align to what you were talking about, which is just good, I think.
Yeah.
Bodies always have their shadowy doubles. Definitely not in the darkness of the night, when the sun falls below the earthly horizon and is replaced by the different cycles of the moon, but in the clarity of a sunny day and, with it, the often unnoticed splitting of the world into bodies and their accompanying shadows. Consciousness of this ancient story of bodily shadows, with its premonitions of a fatal instability in the accepted framework of the real, had sometimes led to strangely interesting mythic possibilities. Cinematic scenes of rebellious shadows that suddenly refused their preordained role of subordination to the governing signifier of the body in favor of striking out on their own. Shadows without bodies, or just the reverse, bodies stripped of shadows. Possessed bodies that clearly mark their break from the terrestrial register of the human by their astonishing failure to cast a shadow no matter how intense the flares of the sun. We mention this strange contortion in the story of the body and its shadow as a way of drawing into a greater illumination those new electronic shadows that accompany the emergence of digital bodies. Every critique of contemporary surveillance has made much of the fact that the digital body always leaves electronic traces, that there is no activity in the wired world which does not accumulate clouds of data, no form of net connectivity that escapes electronic notice, and, consequently, no digital self that does not possess its very own electronic shadow. In all the discussion by intelligence agencies concerning tactics of mass surveillance, whether upstream, harvesting data from compliant telecommunications companies, or downstream, tapping fiber optic cables, constant emphasis is focused on creating individual profiles based on a digital self's, quote, pattern of life, end quote. In other words, mass surveillance is also about an aesthetic act of drawing into visibility those electronic shadows that silently and invisibly accompany the digital self. Here is a clear sign that, with the emergence of real-time and networked space of the digital, we have decisively moved beyond the limitations of the daily cycles of the sun and the moon, as electronic shadows require no galactic movements of planets and their stars for their appearance. Never disappearing with the darkness, never changing their early shape with the angle of the sun, electronic shadows always rise to meet the digital self. Triggered by connectivity, governed by codes, archived in databanks, tabulated by power, the electronic shadow cast by the digital self will, in the end, outlast its human remainder. A future history, then, emerges of electronic shadows of data that cling to the human bodies that activate them, but, for all that, remain at one remove from their earthly origins. And here's where I began reading last time. The result is inevitable, as novelists, short story writers, poets, and cinematographers have always suspected in their creative fables of bodies without shadows, and outlaw shadows that refuse any bodily presence. The unfolding story of electronic shadows is inherently unstable. It takes an immense regime of technocratic intelligibility to maintain tight, disciplined cohesion between digital bodies and their electronic shadows. The many cases of mistaken digital identity indicate perhaps a more primary confusion in electronic shadow land, that point where electronic shadows sometimes exchange bodily identities, slipping immediately beyond the boundaries of one bodily tag into another, with the least apparent difference. Sometimes, too, electronic shadows actually get lost. Flash drives are misplaced or stolen. Data banks suddenly shut down. Power shortages introduce the imperceptible breaks in the data symmetry necessary for cohesive electronic shadows. In this case, to the extent that mass surveillance is probably less about earthly bodies than electronic shadows cast by the pattern of life, that pattern of life already has about a fatal catachresis. An accumulating pattern of errors that may speak more, in the end, to the truth of a system already seemingly out of control.
Okay, so Clinton, what's interesting for me in Croker's writings, starting in the late 90s or something, he will mention, he even has a book called The Body Something.
Body Invaders?
No.
The one on the three feminist writers there?
Yeah, right. Is that called Body Something?
Yeah, something like that. It's on Hales and...
Butler.
Yeah, June and Butler and...
Haraway.
Donna.
Haraway,
yes.
Yeah, so what was good about that book was he talks about the multiple bodies, okay? So I can say, okay, he's referring to my five bodies. Now, he never spells out names or distinctions of the bodies. He occasionally might say the chip flesh body or the chip body or the chip flesh or the TV thing. You know, it just shows up once in a book, the TV body or TV flesh or something. So he never lays it out. So I laid out simply the five types. Now, what I'm finding in what you just read is it's now well past the five bodies being separate. They've been merging over the last 10 or 15 years. And then I say the tech body is coming up. But before you get the tech body, you got to deal with the Android need. He's talking, to me, he is talking freely about the different bodies and the Android meme and using the word shadow to indicate the older bodies, the electronic versus the chip. And he's making the chip the ground. He says that stays after the shadows have gone.
Right.
So he can't get to the tech body, which is this weird post-Android meme phenomenon that dominates the human way beyond what humans think has happened yet. Humans think, oh, that's coming in the future. It's happening now. And so all news and all information is run by the tech body. And the tech body plays games with everybody. For example, they did COVID and they went to Putin and now they're doing the Supreme Court. They're always creating, it's always creating distractions. That the TV body can, you know, play with for a while. So I find that Croker is a little freer with his mixing of his terms. He would just say we got multiple bodies back in the Butler-Haraway book. But now he is saying, well, we got bodies and there's shadows and then there's a chip body and all the different things he was mixing up there.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, he doesn't get to the tech body. His 90s discussions in spasm and that do sort of describe a tech body takeover, but he still talks about the flesh body, you know, hanging in there. So I would say the AP, the new AP, is what he's describing there. But he's calling the ground the chip body. So that would be the AM over the AP. But I think he's actually describing AP over AM. That's why he's calling it the new real. He's trying to describe some new something after Baudrillard and he years ago said there's no more real. Where is this new real coming? And I think that is the service of Web 2.0 is that people can... It can dominate the chip body. It's all shrunk. They got their own broadcasting. They're not subject to the TV body. So they grope around for what everything was extended from. What am I that was extended?
Yeah.
And it can't be literally the chemical body.
No.
Can't be literally the astral body. Right. And so people grope around with a mixture of the bodies, which I would call shadow. So I might take his word shadow out from the way he was using it in the part you read and just focus on it. So why don't we look at his introduction? How does he say this book is something new? Or why do we need this book?
Oh, his introduction is a long exploration of his contemporary social justice movements and
Well, we just need to, let's just see how he starts the first couple of paragraphs.
All right.
You know, is there a preface?
Yeah. Well, yes. Okay. So there's a series of acknowledgments which begin with a nice,
Who's he acknowledging?
This first and foremost, Mary Louise.
Yeah.
He gives us a touching eulogy here before going on to...
Now, she died a few days from Eric McLuhan, you know. Within 4 days. I don't know who died first, but it's interesting. They both died at the same time.
Lynn Baron, David Cook, Nicola Feldman Kiss, Dina Weinstein, Francine Prevost, Hi Marian Polsky, Sharon Wolf.
There's some of her old friends, like Dina Weinstein's husband, Michael Weinstein, he did Data Trash with in 94. And then you mentioned some, what's another name near her? David Cook, he began with David Cook. David Cook is the University of Toronto professor who turned him on to all the Pomo stuff in the 70s. David knew about it before Arthur. Arthur was out in Manitoba. And who other names in the first four names did you say?
Lynn Baron, poet, painter, and photographer.
Don't know her.
Nicola Feldman Kiss, critically engaged artist and social theorist, who draws to sharp visibility that bodies of the prohibited, excluded, and silenced. Dana Weinstein, you went over. Francine Prevost, who's made the pandemic an opportunity to rewrite the poetry of the aesthetic imagination. Hi, Marian Polsky and Sharon Wolf, for their postcard histories of the future that is our past, and then to his family.
Yeah, so I never heard of those. They're part of his Vancouver Island life, you know. What's it called? Victoria University or something? What is that?
Probably University of Victoria.
Yeah, University of Victoria.
Ooh.
What? No. The university in Victoria.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah. What is it called, Brian? University of Victoria, I think. It's not Vancouver or anything, or British Columbia.
Yeah, no.
I think it's... So anyway, so he's naming new people I never heard of.
You dropped the ball, Bob.
I got to get back to stalking
Croker and it's his every social relation.
He's not ground anymore. So so that's the preface. So what happens in the introduction? How has he started? What would he say?
During the pandemic, I sheltered in place on Vancouver Island. Literally an island of attentive solitude in the global stream of viral contagion. Thinking of technologies of the new real and the suddenly proximate. Instantly changed meaning of, quote, I stepped into the future and it wasn't there, end quote. Here, the pandemic was controlled by means of a resilient public health system, and political leadership deferred to medical expertise, relying on a widely shared sense of civic responsibility and general care for the community in responding to the COVID-19 virus. I guess that's what makes Vancouver Island an island in the world of respectable responses. Now more than ever, in this time of viral delirium, Vancouver Island seemed like a rare, magical intersection of the four meridians of air, earth, fire, and water, an undeclared republic tilting towards social justice, just off the western continental mass of North America. Social solidarity in the face of viral contagion. Ironically, the winter months preceding the pandemic were just the opposite of isolation and social distancing. As part of a collective political struggle during the winter, many of us in BC and elsewhere were involved in an active alliance with youth and elders involved in Indigenous resurgence and environmental activism to protest the armed occupation of Indigenous territories by the RCMP in support of aggressive pipeline expansion. Like an epical rip in the fabric of normal time and space, the provincial parliament buildings in Victoria, BC were surrounded by a large Indigenous youth encampment, vibrant with the light of...
Holy Clinton, did he just say the word rip? Say that again.
Like an epochal rip in the fabric of normal time and space.
That period is exactly what Ion called the rip. That's when everything turned upside down. Biden got in, you know, by fraudulence and all that and craziness. And then the COVID came in That was called
No, I'm pretty
the
sure it was the indigenous youth and their sacred fires outside of the Parliament buildings in Victoria. But, I mean...
But about them?
That's what Kroger's calling them.
Yeah, Kroger's saying that the rip was caused by the large indigenous youth encampment, vibrant with the lighting of sacred fires, drumming, inspiring speeches in a field of red dresses, symbolizing murdered and missing indigenous women. All carried out in spirit of love, not violence.
Okay, good. What's the first words of what you just read? I didn't hear rip in what you read.
Like an epochal rip in the fabric of normal time and space, the provincial parliament buildings in Victoria were surrounded by a large indigenous youth encampment.
Okay, so that's anticipating the Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter is going to be part of the rip. So that scene fits into the rip. It's part of the AP, and they're trying to retrieve nature or something, or the pure chemical body, or Gaia. And I noticed that he, after he'd lived in British Columbia for a while, he started talking about eco-movements and alchemy, fire, earth, water. Kind of stuff he never said before. It's even trans mediums. He was getting sucked into the new age world of British Columbia. But he did focus on the indigenous natives within that meme. And he's calling that a rip. And I would say that's accurate because they aren't ground. They're just nuts. And they're, claiming... They actually, within the RIP, succeed in getting the Canadian government to have these salutations of the natives before every fucking public event.
Yes, there have been land acknowledgements for the last few years and all sorts of public hearings in Canada.
Yeah, but that's what we have.
What we really need are ground acknowledgements.
We need the $5.
Traditional edifice of the phonetic alphabet.
Yeah, we are standing on ground ripped from the firmament of the heavens by Galileo, who tore us from the center of the universe.
Everything needs to start with a building up of all the different grounds of literacy. Yeah. That have led to obviously by your criteria or by the sort of McLuhan's of what's the new ground, then they're going to fall short. But on a most basic iconic level or something, it makes perfect sense to identify indigenous people with the ground, because it's like, we were here on the ground, and then you're like kind of walking.
You sailed in with your damn
thing and walking on us, and we're in here the whole time, man. They would be the almost like in a dream that would be a symbol of the ground. Like, if you're going to put a face on the ground, it would make sense to have it be like an indigenous face.
So the rip is the fact they don't do what we're suggesting. They emphasize one aspect of past history of grounds. And the blacks, they said they were the ground. They built everything. Black Lives Matter.
But built it on what? Right? So you might have built the original thing, but on their ground, right?
Why didn't Kroger just say, I'm a white liberal NDPer?
Because he wasn't that great. He was not limited to that.
If we think of Steve Jobs as the ground of computing, then we might claim that it's black turtlenecks all the way down.
Yeah. Now the echoing stops. So Brian was causing, when Brian speaks, you get the echo.
Oh, really?
There's a slight knee echo, but there seems to be.
I'm going to throw a noise gate on my mic feed for you.
Messing up with Clinton's thing before is no longer now fine. So
I'm going to turn off any connection to Achieve Radio.
Keep being offensive. I'm just going to twiddle around with some knowledge for a second here.
So that's a good idea. We need to start a movement in Ottawa. We need to update the acknowledgement of previous landscapes and grounds, not just the damn fucking
ground acknowledgement as well as the land acknowledgement. The media ground.
We need to thank Arthur Croker for the Croker Quadrant, McLuhan Quadrant. Yeah. And of course, Dobbs with the Dobbs Quadrant.
But there was something he said in there from what Clinton was reading, the initial passage, that also reminded me of your category somewhat, Bob, when he's talking about the electronic shadow.
Yeah.
And it being, it represents becoming unmoored from the kind of physical ground of shadow. But he wasn't just talking about, like, the sun. You know, he's kind of emphasizing it's 24/7. Not talking about the sun, which is what we normally think of as casting shadows, right? But I thought it was a little curious. He seemed to very specifically refer to, like, kind of the whole galaxy or, like, the astrological ecliptic or something that did cause, that was involved in our shadow, and is the new electronic shadow is no more concerned with that. Instead, it's this kind of 24/7 thing. That, yeah, that just reminded me of the idea that, you know, that it, like, obsolescing the universal government or something, not just the solar government, that I don't only mean the shadows caused by the sun, but any of those natural lights and that whole wheeling thing that we was our ground, that no more.
Right. And they become shadows or memes, to the degree you think the ideas are not as real, as solid as physical life, even though the mind is part of the physical life. Anyways, the mixture of the memes are the Android meme. So he's describing different memes there in a, I don't want to say sloppy, but it's kind of blurring them and making it vague which one he meant, so that you couldn't, maybe if you reread it closely, you could figure out which is which, but the way it came across, you're not sure which one he was anchoring. And that's accurate, not to specify which meme is dominant. And that leads to quadrophenia. I say quadrophenia is you actually do a tetrad on yourself. You organize yourself by knowing what you've left, what you've flipped into, what you've retrieved, and what's extending you at the present. You can look at your activities tetradically among the five bodies. So,
Hello.
It's interesting that he's picking up on what I'm saying. My stuff is simpler, right? I always recommend you read Croker to get the sophistication and complexities that my simple terms don't give you. You see what I'm saying? I include his complexities in what I'm trying to define.
Yeah.
And McLuhan, when he died, some guy who ran Ramparts had an interesting anecdote. He was with McLuhan in 66, 67 out there in San Francisco, probably with Gossage, Howard Gossage. And he says, he or somebody said to McLuhan, "You're always talking about this." Kind of was irritated. They thought McLuhan was repeating himself. He says, "That's because I left out what I meant to say." So it's a great statement. McLuhan saying, "Well, there's a lot I didn't say that are included in what I said. And, I just didn't get around to saying it."
Or he's only saying the shadow of what he meant to say.
Yeah, he can't get it all in there. He's considerate. But then it's interesting they're using the term RIP. The RIP was a major aberration in late 2000 into 2000, basically the Biden administration. And I announced that the RIP was over like last spring. And that's why things are turning around. Biden is so weak. The whole cabal at the White House is ridiculous, because the RIP has been been sidelined, and we're into something different, new. That's why I sent Clinton this woman, this American woman, you know, nobody, doing this incredible research, and they prove probably one of the best ways of the rigged election. They have the actual video that they found of people fucking with the voting. Now, you saw that, Clinton. I didn't specify any timing on it. I just said this. I say we watched the whole 22 minutes because she does a good job explaining it to Steve Bannon. But he is floored by it. And for him and others, they say she's done it. She and her People's Action Group somewhere in the States have shown, you know, what do you say, irrefutably, that that if they, yeah, they got the gun. And now, what do they do? So they're puzzling about, well, where do we find a ground and get somebody, the Supreme Court, to acknowledge what we've done and present it in a trial or something. That they're looking for a ground there. And once they've done this chemical body validation.
For a platform to present the findings.
Yeah. I mean, they can go on Mike Lindell's station or Truth Social, Trump's station, but that doesn't get into the law world, which would be the actual tech body world. That's what we're up against, is the tech body is in charge of what is defined of all the choices we have. And Croker is defining all the choices we have and saying we've arrived at a new real.
R-E-E-L.
So we'll have to see how he further defines the real, the new real. So, Clinton, do you have my thing there? Do you want to do my thing, or do you want to do more of Croker's book for a minute?
Oh, look at that. Rumble is not on my list of supporters.
It is. Sorry.
We don't hear Clinton. Clinton, we're not hearing you. Clinton.
What?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, I'm sure the recording can hear me. I just forgot to pipe myself back to you guys.
No, I don't hear you.
Everyone else can hear me.
No.
Where would I send myself so that you can hear me?
Got no sound from Clinton. That's very unexpected.
How about that one?
There we go.
Now you're there.
Okay.
Yeah. That was good. You did stop the echo. I don't know how you did it, but, you know, a couple minutes ago you stopped Ryan's echo. That was good.
Oh.
You know what you did?
Yes, I know what I did. I threw a noise gate on my thing. All right. Oh, that means you missed my my clever quips throughout the last 3 minutes. Lost the time.
Yeah.
How unfortunate. Okay.
Then you could retrieve a couple. What did you say?
Actually, no, the audience did. You just didn't hear it. My audio was being routed out to Odyssey and whatnot and Achieve Radio, just not to you guys. I'm just
weird.
Still working out the final last kink.
Just not to the Video Ninja?
Correct. Okay, so...
I mean, it needs to be accounted for if you're, you know, if you're Croker and you're someone who's been, you know, you're like a Baudrillard interpreter or a post-Baudrillard thinker, someone who's not unfamiliar with all that, and the complications of the real and the idea that you can lose, not just losing touch with reality, but with the reality principle so that, you know, we no longer can even conceive of what we lost touch with, then it really does, for him to now talk about a new real, that's either just like a regression, you know? Like,
did you say new real? Oh, yeah, Technology of the New Real. It's the title.
Yeah, Technology of the New Real. It's right there on the cover. He put it right on the cover. So,
yeah.
I can handle that complexity anymore. And now we're just regressing to, like, we went from an old reel to a new reel. Or he means something new and different, like we actually crossed the Baudrillardian abyss and have now crashed into a new continent that is not the same old reel and not the Baudrillardian hyper reel abyss, but a new reel.
And Brian, you know, that's what I was trying to show in the Dobbs quadrant and called it anthropomorphic physical. That's right. What I was trying to say. We had landed past the chip body, which was the Croker quadrant.
All right.
I might have been onto something.
I will.
Now, one more thing. I wanted to say, I've never heard it. Croker has not been saying anything for a couple of years because the C theory went down a couple of years ago. Right when the COVID happened, he made, no, when Trump got in, in 2017, he made a statement about Trump. And then there was no more statements for 3 years from him and Mary Louise, well, probably because he was dealing with her dying, and there's other people. Then about 2000, 2001, C-theory is gone. So we haven't heard anything from Croker for 2 or 3 years. And now we are, and this book gives us his first statement about the COVID era. You know, he talks about the pandemic and what he did. He identified with the First Nations there and was part of that. Though you don't see Croker, I've never seen him pictures of him in protest. Other than on the cover of late 80s, early 90s books, he had a picture of himself, profile of his face, and it seemed that he was in some protest crowd. That's what the milieu around. But I haven't seen any other pictures of him, other than what you see in video, dialogues he does. But that's the first personal statement that you just read. He's explaining, you know, what he did in the last couple of years. And, you know, I don't even think the Pacific Center is happening. I think he's even called an adjunct professor now. You know, that's what young professors are. He's dropped back, it seems, to a part-time professorship.
Partial.
He's basically retired. He's retired.
All right, I'll skip ahead to the section of the intro where he describes the book.
Okay.
Technology is the New Real explores the human impact of technology in the 21st century. Here are four critical intersections of technology and society: drones, surveillance, do-it-yourself bodies, and recent innovations in robotic technology are explored. What they have to tell us about the, quote, new real, unquote, of digital culture. With astonishing speed and relatively little public debate, we have suddenly been projected into a new reality of pervasive surveillance, drone warfare, DIY bombs, the essence of the, quote, quantified self, unquote, and creative developments in robotic technologies that merge synthetic biology, AI, and the design of articulated robotic limbs into a newly blended reality of machines, bodies, and affect.
Blended. That's right, blended.
Mm-hmm.
New reality of blended the previous bodies.
He didn't merge. Yeah, he says merge, same difference. However, while the sheer dynamism of this digital remaking of human experience seemingly anticipates a future of accelerated technological change, it does not account for the dark singularities of increasingly atavistic powers, fatal flaws in the code, the, quote, blowback, end quote, of long-suppressed ethnic and racial grievances, or the rise of fundamentalist ideologies. Technology of the New Real seeks to answer the question posed by the uncertain world of the 21st century experience itself. Namely, why, in an age of seemingly inexorable drive to technical perfection, smart bodies, and complex machine-human interface, has society itself so quickly imploded into politics moving at the speed of darkness and motivated by a will to purity? Consequently,
that would be the AP.
Mm.
The new AP. Trying to get back to what we came from. What we think we came from. That all the technologies were extensions of.
Think we came from, yes.
Yeah.
Consequently,
Go ahead.
Consequently, a truly unique world situation has come about, featuring powerful eruptions of the boom and bust cycles of late capitalism, the rise of reactionary fundamentalist movements, some religious, others political, the effect of political dispossession and economic destitution of significant portions of the world's population, and yet, in the midst of all this, the emergence of a new technological theology as transcendental in its cosmological ambitions as is localized in its implications. But lived first century that may have permanent war, class privilege, and resurgent forms of political recidivism as its sustaining noise. But for all that, there is a clear signal in the technological background of ambient robots, DIY bodies, hovering drones, and machine-readable mass surveillance that something else is happening. Something is novel in its technical expressions, as it is enigmatic in its consequences. Technology.
All right, so there.
Go ahead.
That to me is him intuiting the tech body. Is something weird and strange is taking over. And most people of reasonable education or whatever, they complain about that. So I don't know what the hell's going on anymore. Nothing makes sense. You know what I mean? The puzzlement in the public. McLuhan wrote about it way back in Understanding Media. But it's hyper puzzlement now by people, all kinds of people. And maybe even those that are not university educated. It's the working class, whatever that is, the temp worker class. They say there's something weird going on. You see it talked about. It's actually what everybody says.
Yeah, right. He's articulating the common popular narrative of what's going on. A, it presupposes that the technology romanticists are correct in their appraisal of what the technology is, which I'm saying they're not. B, it's saying that what's being revealed is a bunch of racial tensions that have been dimmed and hidden and are now erupting as, you know, fascist forces, which is a straw man scapegoating mechanism, yeah. Right? That's just a denial, right? That's just a self-sustaining, right? But that's just what the TV body wants to think is happening so that they're justified calling everyone Nazis, right? Right.
It keeps it simple for the TV body.
I don't know, yeah.
I'm just thinking it's interesting, like, you know, he mentioned fundamentalisms and you know, atavistic or whatever, and just the way he's talking about it, I don't want to blame him necessarily, but a lot of people seem to think that kind of a way about... Can you hear me right now?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just... My computer is threatening to go to sleep. I got to send the code key back up. Okay,
a lot of people are what?
People have come to see what I would call kind of like basic liberal democracy, basically like that one of the fundamentalisms that is now perceived to be a religious fundamentalism and a misguided backwards religious fundamentalism is the human rights fundamentalists. You know, the people who don't understand that that's over with. There's no, your rights are just like, all you're doing is just getting in the way by insisting about that. Just get with the times, man. Like, your rights are rights.
Yeah, those are secular humanists. They're not religious fundamentalists.
Secular humanist fundamentalism of human rights is one of these, like, atavistic movements that's trying to disrupt we didn't go far into it, but in the introduction, he seemed to be painting positively as the, you know, social cooperation response to the pandemic or something. Because when he says the government here was like responsive to medical experts, what he means is the government was willing to throw rights out the window. Because, I mean, those are very particular medical experts, right? Like when you talk about like the politics stepped aside at like medicine, I mean, obviously those categories are not nearly as discreet as you would assume.
Right. So, he walks a line here.
Settler medicine, actually. I think that would probably be a lot more clear if you would distinguish that.
And major complaint about Ward and those guys? They're government guys. They weren't experts. They were trying to be experts. It was all mixed up.
Yeah.
You know, the government, the prime ministers and stuff.
So shortly after his description of the indigenous protests against the RCMP, who are protecting the pipeline, whatever he talks about, the political virus of right-wing populism fueled by panic, fear, and intense anxiety over loss of jobs.
Now, that can be...
Hold on. I'm not...
They panic, too.
But
he's starting off calling them panickers.
Okay, so and then he's going on about angry white male hysteria, the scapegoating of Asians, border violence against asylum seekers, and the studied popular silence concerning the cynical hijacking of relief funds by large corporations. And then he goes, there's something else, something now present as a faint intimation of things to come on the horizon of perception. That reality is biofascist. The signs are everywhere. A friend from New York texts me to express her concern about how quickly people are eager to surrender civil liberties in the face of the pandemic. He points to the Wall Street Journal with its reports on the alliance between Apple and Google in perfecting contact tracing. It's definitely a useful medical tool at the present moment, but after the pandemic, contact tracing is potentially a vast extension of the power of corporate surveillance over individual privacy for purposes of targeted relational advertising and for the national security state, an emblematic breakthrough in power over the bodies of its citizens. Moralized first in the name of public health, but later likely to be made permanent in the name of national security and virtual capitalism, contact tracing could well turn out to be a leading talisman of biofascism. Blah, 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 blah. So, he wants it both ways, right?
Yeah. Well, that's good. And he's not getting the obvious that way. He kind of blamed it on someone texting him and raising it rather than, like, it didn't occur to me.
Yeah. Hey, I read in the Wall Street Journal.
It did occur to him.
Like, oh, maybe there is something wrong. I wasn't inclined to doubt anything. Someone, a little birdie told me I should maybe be concerned.
But still, he's allowed to talk about biofascism, and everyone else who's doing it is actually angry white male hysterics.
Yeah.
When they talk about it, it's a misdirection from their true deep-seated hatred of colored people and women. That's the reason that they're sharing. Yeah.
So Croker disappointingly becomes what the right-wingers would say about him. He's just another damn leftist. Came out of McMaster in the 70s, went to Manitoba and then to Montreal, and he glums at the McLuhan discarnate effect and then saw the postmodernists were talking about it, and then he used McLuhan to go around the Baudrillards and that with a more sophisticated discarnate talk that his Panic Encyclopedia and that did. And then he goes out to British Columbia and he falls back into being an eco-warrior and celebrating the Thompson Quadrant, or the chemical body, and the astral body, and then taking he's polarized against the Nazis or the neo-Nazis, and the right wingers.